Hello, everyone around the world. You're on the Mike and Abe show. And Mike, we missed everybody last week, so it's, I haven't talked to you in a few days. You know, I'm looking at times.
Well, we've done, I've been looking at the show. We've done a lot of consecutive shows, so I think it wasn't the worst thing to take a break for everybody. Fans, what? Us, everybody. We had a week off, and duly deserved, because we've been running consecutive weeks for so long, my God.
Well, you know, I tell you who I think is taking a break, and I think that's the Uber drivers, because I'm looking here at Times Square, and we'll get into Times Square later in the show, I guess, about that horrible thing that happened this past week, okay? But I'm looking at a lot of yellow cabs in Times Square now, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm getting a report, I'm getting mixed reports. I'm getting one report that says that for some reason that he can't explain, yellow cabs are all over the place.
Right.
You tell me. You're out there on the streets.
Well, right now we have a lot of people. Yesterday night I was at. I took the day off on Saturday because I hate Saturdays. That's just me. But the garage was filled with guys shaping up who came in for a Saturday night shift. That hasn't happened in a while. A lot of guys are just taking the car early because there were cars sitting all over the place and the garage owner didn't care. So now they have all the day shifts went out on Saturday. And for Saturday night, they have the part-timers are coming back to get cabs. So it looks like the Uber nonsense is winding down.
Well, you know, it could be that these guys are coming to their senses finally and know that the best deal is driving a yellow cab.
Right, and the other thing is Uber is not worth $60 billion. That's a lie.
Well,
internet trolls and over again post you. There's no proof.
They say 68 billion, not 60, and it might be more like $68.
Yeah. Well, where's the proof? Everybody keeps saying it's 60, and if you search it, you'll find thousands of articles stating the exact same number. Not 50, 40. But it all comes out at the same time, so it reeks of what they call troll nests, where you got dozens of people just posting the same thing thousands of times, and the lazy news directors, they just cut and paste the news. They don't even have reporters out there, I don't think, anymore.
Well,
it's disgusting.
Most of the news these days about Uber is bad, okay?
Yeah.
All right, you know, just go to NYC Taxi News and read them on the media page, okay? Latest news stories, you'll see that on the front page. Just click on that. And, you know, let's see if we can go through the whole show and not talk about them anymore.
They're a waste of time. They just
right.
take up all the air in the room.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I'll tell you one thing I'd like to jump into, if I can, is now for years everybody said, oh, my God, the traffic in New York. Right now, the traffic in New York is an utter and complete disaster. And I know it's an old cliche, oh, my God, the traffic in New York is terrible. No, today you can't even move. And there are certain things that have come to light that make me realize why the traffic is a mess right now. I think the first thing is we got to go back to Bloomberg talking about when he was mayor in his third term, which I'm still trying to figure that out as well. But in his third term, he said he wanted to do congestion pricing in Midtown, where we're not going to let private cars into Midtown and blah, blah, blah. And he called hell. Everybody called him a child. Everything but a child of God, they called this guy.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was, now I'm thinking he was on the right track because these people bring their cars in. It's one person, one car. The gas is cheap. They don't even spend any money. They just drive around. And then I think because the MTA and the subways and the buses and everything was falling apart, that's when Uber came and they said, listen, these guys have this crazy app thing and the Metro North and the MTA and the Long Island Railroad are falling apart. We got to get these people around. Oh, here's Uber. They're going to do an app thing. Okay. What about the yellow cabs? Oh, well, you know, just we're the bastard child of transportation. We're just kicked aside. Take it for granted. So you have the congestion pricing that didn't go through. Now you have 7.5 million square miles. That's the math. 7.5 million square miles of Uber cars that have been approved by this chairperson Yoshi and Mayor de Blasio in the last 4 years, blocking up traffic, And you also have these people driving around at $2 a gallon who don't go anywhere. They're driving around. They're smoking weed. They're drinking beer. They're on their computers in their little cars, some of them, if not a lot of them. And it's just created this huge traffic mess. I mean, honest to God, Abe, I was going to go out and work a few hours on Saturday night. Yeah. I looked at the traffic on Grand Central going into the city, a complete disaster, and I usually start at the airport. Then on top of that, it was right around when the Met game traffic is going into Shea Stadium. They've lost their minds. And on top of that, this disaster that you touched on in Times Square with the nut, when nuts in Times Square ran over a bunch of people, killed a poor teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the guy being tackled by a security guard. I saw the guy being tackled by a traffic cop. Didn't see a whole lot of NYPD folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they're standing down because of some labor dispute. I was on Broadway and Broome. It was packed. You couldn't get into the tunnel. No cop, no traffic helping out with the traffic. This is all over the city. The absence of police, visible police presence on the street, is glaring. And I'm thinking it has something to do with de Blasio's wonderful 2% wage offer that he made to the cops,
mm-hmm.
where there's a contract thing going on. So all that combined makes the situation for professional drivers like me and guys who are running a cab like you in a very bad place. And especially right now, this election year, where's the people chiming in, candidates, to say, this is bad, I'm running for mayor, against the mayor? Where are those people? I mean, it's a whole big mess in our laps right now.
Okay, so Mike.
I didn't mean to ramble, but that's what I'm seeing, yeah.
Okay, you're asking a lot of questions here, and I try to answer them one at a time. Number one, City Field.
Good luck.
City Field, not Shea Stadium. Okay? Just want to get that out of the way, okay? Number two, if you think the traffic is bad now, okay, because of this nutcase lunatic in Times Square, our transportation city councilman, okay, head of the transportation committee, Rodriguez, right, wants to introduce a bill to close off Times Square permanently to traffic.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, if you ever worked on New Year's Eve, which I have many times, okay, when Times Square is closed from like 57th Street down, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine permanently that no traffic in Times Square. Okay. So, I mean, you know, which is absolutely ridiculous. Okay. Because you can't stop a nutcase. You know, he'll just do it somewhere else. Right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, he'll take his chips to another table. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but, you know, this guy was a wacko. Okay?
Right.
I mean, I don't know how else to describe somebody that would do something like that. You know?
Idiot. Complete idiot, yeah.
Well, if he was only an idiot, he wouldn't have done what he did. He was worse than an idiot. Okay?
Well, the other thing is that this guy... apparently, for lack of a better word, he got thrown out of the Navy. At first, they say, "Oh, he was a veteran," and we have millions of veterans who do okay when they come out of the service. I mean, the press always wants to harp on this veteran. No, he was a nut who got thrown out of the Navy, and he goes barreling through Times Square in a car. And this guy, Abe, I don't know if you follow deeper into the game. This guy had red flags galore.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's talking about. And he beat up a cab driver in Florida. He beat up one of our guys in Tampa or something.
Uh-huh.
And when they arrested him for beating up a cab driver in Florida, this is just only in 2012. After he gets thrown out of the Navy, beats up a cab driver in Florida. As he's being arrested in Florida, he says he wants to kill cops. This is in 2012. Nothing happens to the guy. He's floating around all this time. And the guy should have been in the nut house. Why don't we just put people in nut houses anymore?
Well, there's a lot of nuts out
there. Maybe because we'll run out of customers.
I don't know. Maybe they'll run out of spaces if they put every nut in the nut house. You know, you know.
I'll tell you. Well, we have plenty of room in jail. There's always plenty of room in jail. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that for somebody to do what this guy did is so horrible and... And you know, I mean, it's just it's look, nobody should die the way that girl died. Okay?
Oh my God. My
Okay?
God.
I mean, I read an
Yeah.
article this morning that her parents came to New York. She was from Michigan, and the her brother or sister or something was younger and in critical condition. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
you know, for that to happen to any parent, okay, to have
Right.
the children go on a what's supposed to be a fun vacation in New York City, okay, and have it turn
Right.
out that way, what you know, how do you explain that to them? We're sorry.
Oh my,
You know, we're
yeah.
sorry
Well,
isn't good enough. Okay?
yeah.
I mean,
You
you
know, the other
know.
little glaring, the glaring thing I found here with all these episodes of police abuse and police beatings, alleged police beatings, police shootings. This is the guy who doesn't get beaten up and doesn't get shot by police. I'm just wondering, what are the cops like afraid to do anything now? I mean, is that where we are? They're afraid to shoot a guy who's plowing through Times Square? I mean, in my opinion, I'm not a lawyer or a legal person, but I'm thinking if a guy is driving 3 blocks plowing through people with a car in Times Square, it's okay to shoot him if you're a cop, okay? I mean, I really wouldn't have a problem with that, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well,
I
you know
mean,
what?
what, you know.
Look, Buck, you don't want to raise any more controversy than is already, okay?
I'm just
Because
saying.
yeah,
I'm
okay. You know, I mean, look, you know that's a whole other subject. All right, to tell you the truth,
Okay.
okay?
All right.
I just want to say something. Monday, tomorrow, okay? There's going to be a demonstration by Melrose. Have you
This is
heard?
when? Monday,
Tomorrow.
tomorrow when? The 22nd?
Tomorrow, I have it on the website. Okay, let me bring it up. Okay, give me a minute. I'll read
A
the whole.
demonstration by Melrose in front or in front of
It,
Melrose?
well, I'm going to read you the whole thing. Okay,
Yeah.
it's T-Motor is sponsoring this demonstration rally at Melrose Credit Union Monday, May 22nd at 11 a.m. Okay, if you don't know where Melrose is, it's at the very end of Queens Boulevard. Just before
Right.
Hillside Avenue, okay?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, 139
Oh,
30,
yeah, Melrose.
yeah, right, 139 30 Queens Boulevard. We must unite to reach our goals. Stop the banks and credit unions from foreclosing on medallions. This may be our last chance to save our industry. So, if you didn't know about it, now you do. Okay,
Interesting.
all right. Go to
Well, I
my,
really don't have, tell you the truth,
yeah,
and I'm not like
yeah.
dodging the issue. Historically, Melrose has a pretty good rep on the street, and if there's a problem, it's news to me, and I'd like to get more information before I go there because, I mean, they're pretty much
Well, here's
financing lots of cabbies.
look, I've been hearing a lot of mixed stories about what's happening with Melrose, okay? And you know, everything I'm about to say is only hearsay, okay? You know, I don't have any paperwork or facts to back up anything, but you hear story after story after story, and some of the stories are saying that even those that have been paying their loans are being foreclosed on. And what they say is happening is, you know, if you owe, say, $800,000, and Melrose has, from what I read, valued the medallion at this point at $550,000. And actually, that wasn't Melrose. It was Merstein, I think, from Medallion Financial. Okay,
Okay,
and
great.
that value is being accepted as what should be. Okay, and they're asking people that owe more than that, okay, to put up extra collateral. Okay, so
Okay, so if a guy, let's say if a guy bought a medallion years ago for 800,000, now this is a mini fleet corporate medallion. This is not an individual medallion, I
well,
would guess.
whatever the medallion is, many of them are individuals. Some people bought individuals for $1 million. Okay,
Right.
so let's say you owe 800,000, okay, or you owe 900,000, or 700,000. Well, the medallion value doesn't cover that amount. Okay, since if it's 550 and you owe 800, you know, there's an extra
Right.
200 some odd thousand that's not covered. Should you default? So what they're asking for is more collateral, such as you know, do you own a house? Do you own another business? You know, something like that. Okay, and if the person says, "Well, I don't have any other collateral," then what they were doing was just saying, "Okay, then we're going to raise your interest rate to 8%." Okay,
Oh, okay.
all right.
Okay.
In other words, turn it into what they, and I'm defining this myself. Okay, what they call a loan, like a credit card.
Well, they're looking at it as they've increased the risk, is what they're
Yeah,
saying.
right.
They,
Well,
apparently.
when they charge high interest rates, like on a credit card, is because there's nothing to back it up. Okay, so by charging high interest rates, they cover
Oh, like an
themselves
unsecured loan,
an
unsecured
unsecured
loan.
loan. That's the word I was looking for. Okay, so if you owe 800,000 and your medallion is only worth, say, 550,000, then the rest of it is unsecured. So they're saying, okay, they'll raise the rates to 8%. Okay, and that's what they've been doing. Some people have been saying okay, and some people have been saying no way. Okay, and the people that have been saying no way, Melrose has been foreclosing. Okay.
Oh boy. So, all right. So, what
Okay,
was the difference in a monthly note? I mean,
hold on, Mike. Hold your question. Okay, I just want to finish. Okay, I've also been hearing, I heard a story this week, and now I say this is just hearsay, that Melrose has been lenient with some of these people now. Okay, and not done that, and they say, well, okay, you've been making your payments, so we'll let you continue to make your payments, even though you don't have more collateral to put up. Now, what was your question?
Okay. I was going to say that, first of all, like I said, jumping back to Melrose, they've been in the business for years, and I'm just curious as to what their existing loan rate would be for the interest rate versus the new interest rate. And in today's current climate, I'm just curious what's the difference in the monthly
I
notes
think I can
if
answer
they're going
that.
at 4% to 8%.
Well, the difference in the monthly bills from 4% to 8%, that you'd
Yes.
have to calculate. I haven't calculated that, but the interest rate, I believe, was either 3.75 or 4%. Okay, because
Yeah, and
that's
I
what I
will.
was paying before I paid off my note with another
Well,
credit
some of these
union.
loans are some of these loans are structured with a like a lot of the interest is front loaded with a balloon at the end of, let's say,
Yeah,
3 years or 5 years, where you have to.
this is happening at the balloon.
Right.
When the balloon comes
Okay,
up,
but I mean, just.
it comes up every 3 years.
Right. Oh, it does? Okay.
Yes, that I know.
Now, well, I mean, it invariably, historically, it would be, okay, well, this is not something I want to do. I'm going to go get another deal. Thank you very much. Goodbye. But I guess there aren't a lot of options for cabbies to go down the road to get financing from somebody else.
No, it's take it or leave it.
Let's take it or leave it.
Right.
So if a guy was paying 3.25, 3.75, let's say almost 4%, and now it jumps to 8%, that monthly note is going to jump up, I would guess, substantially. I
Well,
mean, if it's
yeah,
interest only.
unless if it's an interest only loan. Okay, and some of these loans are
Right.
interest only, where they're only paying the interest. But I believe I heard that they're not allowing that anymore either. They want some principal. Okay.
Oh boy.
All right. Now,
Yeah. So I mean,
there was also a story that came out early this week, I believe it was, that there were some fleets that are buying these medallions for as much as 660,000. On foreclosure,
the same medallion.
yeah, right. The foreclosed medallions for as much as six more than 600,000, I should say. Okay, I'm not going to mention the names I read. Okay, but one fleet in particular, I know where it is. Okay, it's up in Harlem. Okay, and they're not actually putting up that money. They're just taking over the payments at that price.
Okay, so
Okay.
they're absorbing the loan, so to speak.
Yeah, and I also read that there were some credit unions and financial institutions that are making some loans again. Okay, which is a very good
Okay, well, I
sign,
mean,
which is a very good sign that things are turning around. Okay, because these credit unions have not been lending any money for the longest time. Okay, a couple of years, since like late 2014, early 2015, somewhere in there. Okay. Okay, and I just want
Well,
to
I
say,
mean,
hold on. Let me just address another thing. You said something about Mira Joshi, that she's allowing all of these cars to be on the street, and I just want to say that I also read this week that she's whining. Okay, well, I have no power over this. I have no power over this. Only the city council can restrict the number of licenses. Okay. Okay, now you can go. I just wanted to say that. All right.
Let's put it this way. She can make it a little more difficult for cars to get on the street. Well, first of all, she lowered the standards to drive a cab. She lowered the standards to drive a black car. And when the standards were high, it was difficult for a driver to drive a car, thus flooding the streets. I mean, if you lower the driver standards and let anybody with a pulse drive a for-hire vehicle, it's going to be a flood of cars. So she did that. She also allowed, I think, like you don't really need in today. You get so many guys running these Uber cars, literally off the street and out of a candy store, in my opinion. And she can control base responsibility. I mean, if you're running 50 cars off the street, TLC has a right to go in there and say, "Hey, you can't run 50 Uber cars or 40 Uber cars off the street. You need some base stuff going on." So there are things she can do.
That's true.
So she, like I said, and there are some things she could do to make it prohibitive to flood the streets with Uber cars. So I think she's a teller of tall tales. And Little Miss Competition, where she's saying we encourage competition, I didn't see a whole lot of competition for the chairperson of the TLC when she got the job. Okay, she was there, and they put her in place, and I didn't see a whole big vetting process of, like, let's say, 20 people from the transportation field business going for that job. I just saw her.
Well,
Okay, so they talk about.
it's sort of like de Blasio just said, you're here, you take the job. You
Right.
know?
This is the guy with the guy who had 3 feet of grass in front of his house for years. That's his way of when I see that in front of his house back in Brooklyn, I say, this is the guy who just wants e this is the guy who wants the easy way out. I mean, you can't even get a gardener up the street to cut the grass. How are you going to appoint a chairperson of the TLC? I mean, that's my opinion.
There was a town hall meeting in Brooklyn this week. Okay, it was on Monday.
Yay!
Okay, and it had nothing to do with the taxis. It was just a general meeting in Borough Park. Okay, which is a very populous neighborhood for Hasidic Jewish people. Okay,
Really?
yeah, and it was the meeting was held by Councilman Greenfield, okay, and
Okay.
the mayor was there, and a couple of taxi drivers showed up from the T-Motor Taxi Medallion Owners Association, and they got in. There's a YouTube video of the meeting, and I watched it. Okay, and at the end of the meeting, one of the taxi drivers asked the mayor to meet with him about his pro about his downfall, so to speak. Okay,
Downfall, yeah.
about how things have been in the taxi industry, and the mayor promised him that he would give him that meeting. Okay,
Right.
and I've been asking, did the mayor actually make that appointment? And I haven't heard that he did, but it sounded very nice that the mayor said he would let him make an appointment. Okay, and I'm waiting. Okay, and we're all waiting. But well, he didn't say when he would make the appointment, whether he'd still be in office when the appointment would be made. Okay, he didn't say this month, next month, before the election, after the election. Okay, but we would like to see that meeting happen. Okay.
That's one thing is there was a big taxi demonstration in front of City Hall. This is about a month and a half ago, and they're having a big meeting and a big demonstration in front of City Hall, and sure enough, out comes the mayor himself with aides walking through the throng, you would think that one member of the throng would say, "Mr. Mayor, can we ask you?" You know, like instead of the boo hiss routine, which I look at myself and I say, "How are they? What are they thinking?" You would think one leader would have stepped up and said, "Mr. Mayor, we ask you right now, could you please meet with the industry and say a few words?" Right? The mayor's there. The mayor's standing there in front of the city hall where the demonstration is, okay, here's your big moment. Ask the mayor to come to the mic, say a few words to the cab drivers. Let's get the show on the road. Instead, they go into boo hiss mode. Boo hiss! Ah! And start, you know, a couple of cursing. I'm saying, who's running the show? I mean, every time I've seen this business snatch defeat from the jaws of victory so many times.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the telling moments where if you have any sympathy at all for the mayor, to trying to get any sympathy from the mayor, the absolute last thing you want to do is start booing him and cursing him out as he's walking in front of you at your demonstration. You might want to make an offer, and then if he says no, you boo and hiss. But I think the first thing you should have done is said, "Mr. Mayor, could you please come to the mic?"
Okay, so
if
let's say
says
it
no,
here.
Then you boo.
Let's say there, Mr. Mayor. We don't dislike you. We just don't understand why things have been happening without your help. Okay.
Right.
All right.
They have the microphone right there. Somebody could have said that exactly.
Right.
You know,
and I'm saying it now. Okay. Meet with the taxi drivers. Okay. Meet with the medallion owners that you sold medallions to for over $1 million. Okay.
Right.
You know, and meet with them and help them. You know, do what needs to be done, okay? Get right. Some of these cars off the street. And you know, a lot of these cars, like you mentioned, Mike, you know, they supposedly have bases. And I've seen some of these bases. They don't really exist, okay?
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
that's
right.
Saying.
They don't. They're phantom bases. All right, they don't exist. Okay, you
right.
know. And yeah. You're right about what you said about Miramajoshi could clamp down on that, okay?
And well, the other thing is a lot of these guys running Uber cars off the street, where's the parking lot? Where's the parking? You get these neighborhoods where the people live are flooded with these dopey little Uber cars. The residents can't park. And if you're going to run a base, historically, if you're running a car service, you got to have a parking lot on your property to run the cars out of. I mean, if you got to be in the Bronx where it's cheaper, or Brooklyn, or the outskirts of Queens, hey, I don't want to see 100 or 200 Uber cars taking up my legal resident parking space because I have no skin in that game. I don't want this crazy stuff on the streets of New York. And right now it's a mess. And mm-hmm. That's another thing with Yoshi, where she is, we got to go to the city. No. You don't have to go to the city council. And the other thing is, in their charter with the city council, she's supposed to be responsible for the economic well-being of the drivers. And anybody with half a brain would look at that and say, gee, if I double the amount of for-hire cars with basically the same amount of business, I wonder if it's going to affect driver earnings. Well, yeah, it's going to cut driver earnings in half if you double the cars with the same amount of business. Simple. So she could have done that too.
Uh-huh. And either it's going to cut it in half, or the drivers are going to have to work twice as hard. Okay.
Right.
Or they're going to have to lasso people into their taxis, those that would have, you know, did before they get on the subway, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. Now, you said the price of the medallion in all this mess has, in fact, gone up a bit.
Well, this is what it's being quoted as, and we're going to look at the sales of medallions at the end of each month, and
right.
see if these numbers are real, okay? And if it happened mm-hmm. just recently, it'll either show up at the end of this month or the end of next month, you know,
right.
July 1st, something like that. Okay, the TLC does
right.
show, they used to show these wacko figures, until they got caught, okay, and they stopped. But now
right.
they show the actual sales, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if one person bought a medallion for $1 million and 50 people bought a medallion for $800,000, this is going back to 2014, right? They showed the $1 million as the value.
Right.
Okay. The
right.
value isn't necessarily, you know, what the last person paid for it. Such as the value, there was a medallion sold for $271,000. 2 months ago, right? And now the newspapers are yelling, 271,000, it's down to 271,000. No, one desperate medallion owner just wanted whatever he could get and to get out of town and never come back, right?
And one new medallion owner got the deal of a lifetime.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, I had somebody call me up last week. Okay. I had put an ad for selling my medallion on one of the websites that have that 8 months ago, you know, 9 months ago. I don't even remember when I did it. And he calls up and he wants to buy my medallion. And he said, how much you want? I said, well, it's being quoted as at $550,000 now. He goes, oh, cheap medallion. I said, listen, if you could get it for cheaper, you know, don't, you're talking to the wrong person. I told him. All right. Because there's no way I'm letting it out of my hands, you know, for those kind of numbers. All right.
Well, this is the thing that's happening now. Everybody's looking for the panic sale, the fire sale, and that's business, okay? I mean, we understand what it's like in business, but at the same time, you know, as soon as you pull the trigger on that, you're blowing off the potential of $300,000 is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big decision to make. Like, God forbid the doctor says, you know, hey, but you have about 5 weeks to live, then you're going to sell your medallion for $200,000.
No, I let it be... inherited.
Okay. Well, point being is,
what
that,
am I going to do in 5 weeks? Spend $200,000 while I'm dying?
Well, it all depends what you're dying of.
Well, doesn't if I'm dying of cancer and I'm bedridden. All right. Okay.
Yeah, well, then the hospital will take all the money. Yeah.
Well, they'd be happy to take it. I'm sure. You know, thank God for Medicare. All right.
Great.
Okay. I love Medicare. I really do. Okay.
Yeah.
Because
this is one of the things we could talk about. Let's shift gears and talk about this Obamacare stuff where the Republicans, and I'm a Trump supporter, at least I voted for him. I don't know. It's not easy being a Trump supporter now.
Uh-huh.
But they keep saying, oh, we got to get rid of Obamacare, get rid of... Listen, there's been a lot of people who have been helped substantially with this Obamacare. It's one of the few things I can actually see, feel, touch that I'm getting from the government. I get workman's compensation, I get Social Security, I get Obamacare, I get buses, I get trains. Leave the Obamacare alone. All these people say, we've got to get rid of Obamacare. Listen, just restructure it. They say repeal and replace. No, replace and repeal. Show me something that you have that's in place that's going to work before you get rid of Obamacare, because not only has it helped people, but a lot of cabbies, and I know for myself, have gone for pre-screenings for prostate exams, for colon exams, colonoscopies, and skin cancer exams, where previously we wouldn't have had the resources to go to get checked out before. I mean, I had a shoulder scoop of something that may or may not have been skin cancer on my upper left shoulder. I wouldn't even known about that thing if I didn't have this thing in place. So I want to thank Barack Obama, even though I'm not a big Barack Obama fan, I want to thank Barack Obama for putting this health plan in place and tell the Trump people, say, listen, there's a lot of people out there who are just wacko and want slaves and don't want to pay the workers or provide anything for workers. This is one thing that the country got right with Obamacare. So find a way, maybe let some of the people who don't need Obamacare, let them opt out and create a pool of people who need this until they get a private health plan. Because right now they say, we've got to get rid of Obamacare. There are some people who are panicking. You got 40 million people who need this and who don't want to sell their house to take care of their little girl with cancer, which was happening before this was in place. So I don't mean to ramble, but Abe, you got some good luck with the whole health care thing,
okay,
too.
Okay, now may I talk?
No.
I want to tell you where it's really at, okay? Obamacare has been good to you, and it's been good to a lot of people. But it appears that it's not been good to everybody, okay? And I'm talking nationwide, okay? All right. Okay, and obviously what Trump has been trying to put together is not going to be good to too many people, except you know, I don't know who it's going to be good to. It'll be good to some people, and it won't be good to a lot of people also, okay?
Right.
Here's the problem, I'm going to tell you what the problem is, and it's very simple, okay? Get rid of the insurance companies. Get them out of the business. Okay, that is the problem. Because let me finish, because there is no such thing as health insurance. Okay? Let me explain. Insurance is something you buy to cover you for something that's not likely to happen. Okay? You own a house. Okay?
Right.
How many houses out of 100,000 houses burned down? One? Maybe? Two?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right?
So you pay a few hundred dollars a year, maybe $1,000 a year. Okay? Depending on the value of your house. Okay? You pay that, and if you should be the unlucky one whose house burns down, there's plenty of money there to cover you. And there's no problem. You'll get your money. You'll rebuild your house. Okay? But when it comes to health care, likely to happen, okay? Not likely, it will happen. Everybody needs to go to the doctor. Everybody at one time or another will walk into a hospital for something, okay?
Right.
So where's the insurance? There is no insurance. All there is an insurance company getting in between you and the health care, okay?
Hold on.
If the insurance companies were not part of the system, you would be able to walk into a hospital and be able to afford it with money that you earned. Okay?
It was like that
before the insurance companies got in on it. Back in the 1950s and the 1960s, you could walk into your doctor's office and get charged $5.
Mm-hmm.
Today's money may be $50. Okay, not a bill for $750 for a doctor's visit. And why do they do that? Because they know the insurance companies will pay it or they'll negotiate it, okay? But the insurance companies always win. Okay? They're in it to make a profit, okay? They have no business in the healthcare business.
It's interesting. Interesting perspective, and I'll tell you something else. The basically economic principle of an insurance company, forget demonizing them for saying, oh, the health insurance, they are collecting premiums, and then during a catastrophic event, or even just a thing that they shouldn't be responsible for, they're collecting premiums, and their goal is to keep as much of that money that's coming in as they can legally. I mean, that's the goal of any business, is to keep as much of the money coming into your business as you can and spend as little as you can. But like you said, now that's been transposed into the healthcare industry, where you have businesses trying to find ways not to pay, okay?
Right.
And trying to find ways to vote. And this is what happens to some people outside, like you said, with the Obamacare, because the premiums are going on the moon and they're getting less. And from a business standpoint of an insurance company, that's your goal, is to collect more premiums and pay less. Where the guy with the broken leg is like, listen, I've been paying $600 a month for me and my family. Now I got a broken leg, and you're telling me you're going to pay for the bandages and the antibiotics, but the bone I got to pay a copay or something like that. I don't know, whatever, argument's sake, in my opinion. But the fact of the matter is, their goal is to collect as much money and to pay as little as they can. That's basic business economic principles. Now, like you said, once we can remove that from the equation and just say, listen, people have problems and are getting sick and they need help, fine, we can do that. And the government has the resources and the structure to put themselves in a position to collect money for this on a grand scale, versus all these zillion little insurance companies popping up. So it is a problem. I know exactly. I have a better view of what everybody's saying, and you have some people who want to opt out of the Obamacare because they say, listen, I have enough money where I can get my own doctor or my own insurance. I don't need Obamacare. But for the people who need Obamacare, it shouldn't be eliminated. That's my...
this is for now, but I'm just saying in the long run, they should eliminate the insurance companies, okay? And
You think that's the big problem?
And people that have that make a decent living should will be able to afford the insurance. If there are some people, you know, that can't afford it, well, then there should be you know, a fund for them, you know, such as like Medicare. Okay, and let me tell you what.
Right.
Let me tell you why I like Medicare. I have my Medicare right in front of me on my computer. I have my Medicare account. Okay. On April 25th, okay, I fell out of bed. Okay, I was getting out of bed, and I missed. I usually grab onto my side dresser as I'm getting out. Okay, and I missed. I missed and fell out of bed, and I hit my elbow on this hard floor that I have in my bedroom. Okay. Well, here's what happened. At first, I thought I was okay. All right, there was a little blood there. Okay, and I let it go. And about 3 hours later, I noticed my elbow just swell up like a baseball. Right.
Wow.
And I got scared. I thought it was maybe internal bleeding or something. Okay, so I went to the hospital emergency room. Okay. They took some X-rays, okay, and the doctor came in and said, "You're all right. That swelling will go down, and you don't have any broken bones or anything." Okay, so I was okay. Okay, I could have chanced it and not gone, but you know, better safe than sorry. Now here's the bills. Okay, here's the bills. The doctor, okay, amount charged. I was with him for exactly not even 4 minutes. If I was with them that long, okay? The doctor charged $930, okay? Medicare said, we're only giving you 66, okay?
Great.
Okay, and I had to pay 20% of that, 66 times 0.20. I had to pay $13.20. So the doctor charged $930, and I had to pay $13.20. Okay, X-rays.
Wow.
X-rays, $65. Medicare said, "Uh-uh, you're only getting $9.30 for the X-rays. $9.30." So
$9.30.
Right. 9 times 0.20. I pay 20%. I paid $1.80. So together with the two bills, totaling $1,000, I paid $15. Okay.
Ooh.
All right. This is why I love Medicare. And everybody in the country should have Medicare. Okay? Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country should have Medicare.
Yep.
Okay? And if
well,
you have if you, hold
line,
on,
we'll,
if you
yep,
haven't
right.
paid enough yet to be in the system as you do, it's part of Social Security. Okay? If you do, if you haven't paid enough yet to be in the system, then you should pay a premium every year. To the government, to the Social Security system, okay? You know, maybe instead of $12,000 a year, what they charge for health insurance, or $15,000 a year, okay? Pay $1,000 a year, okay? Pay $1,000 a year, and you'll be good.
Well, that's exactly the point. And I just said, I remember back in the 80s and maybe like early 90s, but definitely late 80s, I had a plan. I don't even know what happened. It was called Total Health. And back then, it was $84 a month. I had basic dental, basic this, basic that, $84 a month. And in today's dollars for a single guy, that would probably be about two and change. Let's say two and a quarter a month. Easily affordable. And I think if every man, woman, and child who had the resources could pay directly to somebody to cut out the middleman, like you said, and they'll say you paid a buck and a half, $150. Okay, I'll pay $150 a month. And at the end of the year, you know something's going to happen that's going to cost $1,000 over the course of a year. Something is going to happen, if not over the course of a year, over the course of 2 years. But if it's on scale, I think it would work because, like I said, we need basic stuff. And also, jumping back to what I said earlier, is the pre-screening. Let's say, you know, you go to the doctor and they find a mole or a blockage or something in your urine. You can something to at least go to pre-screening to make that affordable so if you can see something on the horizon, they can catch it quick. Because a lot of cabbies have gone for prostate exams and colon exams now with Obamacare. where they caught stuff, early stage stuff, and now they're back in action. They're driving and they're back on the road. But if they didn't have the resources to go get the pre-screening, they'd be dead. They'd be dead or in the middle of some major medical disaster. So, I mean, it is the Mike and Abe show. It's a taxi show, and this concerns everybody.
Right.
Especially the small business people like us. I mean, we're running a cab. You're running a cab. I'm running a cab off the street. And this is something that has to be addressed for the small business community, especially for the small business community who just, we work for ourselves, basically. We eat what we kill every day. We go out, we make a few bucks, and we survive. So we're not working for some big whoop-de-doo company with a huge health care system at our disposal. So it's very important for everybody, Democrat, Republican, to get this thing done ASAP. So anyway, what else we got?
Let me ask you a question. Last Monday was that thing at the Javits Center with the Robin Hood Fund.
Robin Hood Fund. I was at Kennedy Airport.
Oh, you didn't get over there. I haven't heard anything about it, about how it worked out. That 4,000 people were supposed to get into yellow cabs and download the Arrow and Curb apps.
I dropped off from Kennedy Airport, and a guy jumped in the cab at the Marriott. Now, this is 45th Street and Broadway. He's going over to the Javits Center, and ironically, he was going over there for the Robin Hood thing. I said, oh, why? You're going to the Robin Hood? Yeah, I'm going to see the big event, blah, blah, blah. This is at 5 o'clock. They start bringing, they say, the event is at 5 o'clock. We're going to have dinner and drinks for the people, blah, blah, blah. So I bring him over there. Dude, it took me 35 minutes to take this poor guy
really?
From 45th and Broadway. Yeah, 45th and Broadway. And all, I wound up dropping at 43rd and 11th because it was a sea of traffic again with de Blasio and the city council doing nothing to alleviate the traffic. And there are some simple things they can fix which aren't getting done. And we have people who are going to be bailing on conventions and gatherings and business meetings in New York City unless it's a six. The garbage at the Van Wyck is ridiculous.
Let me just ask you, the traffic was on 11th Avenue, the heavy traffic?
Yeah.
In other words, was this traffic being because de Blasio was there, or was this traffic because that these are cars trying to get into the Lincoln Tunnel?
Well, it was a high to rush hour. It was at 5 o'clock.
Right.
So it was the cars trying to squash into the Lincoln Tunnel. I think de Blasio was there to talk to these people. But just in essence, I didn't see any cops. I didn't see any traffic cops. I didn't see any regular cops directing traffic. So I'm thinking there's some labor thing where they're standing down. They're probably mad at de Blasio, and they're not doing stuff. And they got to look into that. Because, there comes a point where you have to do your job.
Okay,
you know?
let me just vision this fear in my head. You picked them up on 46th Street between Broadway and 8th Avenue, 7th and 8th Avenue. Right, you
made it. No, 45th.
Oh, in other words, you were going across. You were actually facing west on 45th when you picked him up. Right. Okay. So you went.
I talked to people from Kennedy. And said, whoa! I talked to people who I was dropping from Kennedy. I said, listen, let me drop you on the side of the hotel. You just walk into that little nook.
Okay.
With your stuff.
I understand. And they said, okay. I understand. I've done that many times myself. Okay. So
right.
So you took 45th Street over to 11th Avenue. And
right.
Probably the traffic was heavy just to get to 11th Avenue, right?
Oh, I went up, I started across 45th Street. I had to go up to 49th Street and then come back down on 11th Avenue because 45th Street was just a complete, it was locked up. You couldn't even move.
Okay.
And this is a cab with a guy. What about emergency service?
Okay.
I don't know what they do.
All right, so you, where did you go up to 49th Street, on 8th Avenue or 10th Avenue?
I went up from 8th Avenue to 49th Street, cut across all the way to 11th, and then we just stopped.
So in other words, from 49th and 11th, is that still a two-way street?
Yes.
Okay, so you made the left onto 11th Avenue and frozen, couldn't move, right?
From 49th and 11th, I had to worm my way down to, what was it, the 44th Street, and he jumped out. I said, listen, man, this is as good as it gets, or else you're going to be late.
Yeah,
I said, okay.
Okay.
I mean,
right.
Fortunately, the guy could walk.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's hard. I know what you're talking about, Mike. Okay, and
yeah.
And where did you go from there after he got out?
I ran like a rat.
No,
I took a left on 44th Street, went up 10th Avenue, and just went as far as I could up 10th Avenue. I said, if somebody, they got to pay me to come back into this. That was my philosophy.
You got up 10th Avenue. Where did you find your next fare?
Probably right around Lincoln Center.
Okay. So you went up 10th Avenue, the back side of Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds pretty normal, you know. I mean, typical. You know, it was on a Monday, rush hour. It doesn't matter what day of the week it was, I guess. It was rush hour. Okay?
Right.
And where was your next fare going?
God knows. I think they weren't going back into that, otherwise I would have remembered it. But they were probably going to the east side or uptown or something. So.
And from there...
But I mean, this is the thing. I think I'm starting to think,
yeah,
in my opinion, I don't know, that it's some labor action going on between maybe the police and maybe the traffic people, because de Blasio unveiled an $85 billion budget for next year, and included in that budget is budgeted in 2% raises for cops, which is a joke.
That means for every dollar they're making, they're going to get another 2 cents.
Right, exactly. Well, it's good. I mean, it's steady money.
You know, in other words, de Blasio got his 2 cents in.
Right, exactly. So,
yeah.
I don't know how that works. You really got to be kidding me if you're going to give the NYPD a 2% raise with an $85 billion budget that's just gone up. I mean, it went up from $72 billion to $85 billion, so just on spec. Was that 13? So that's 18. So the budget goes up 18%. And the cops are getting a 2% raise. So that's a little ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
A lot ridiculous. So I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, is that our show for today?
I don't know. You got anything else?
No. Well, that Melrose thing is an eye opener. I'm gonna as they say in the government, we're gonna monitor the situation because we don't know all the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get anything coming in that I saw right away, unless you posted it on the website about this Melrose demonstration for tomorrow.
No, I just posted it yesterday.
So,
I only found out about it yesterday. So late yesterday afternoon, I was informed, and I was asked to put up the flyer on the website. And anybody that wants to read it, go to the website. And you'll see in the upper left hand corner of the front of the homepage a scrolling
right.
message with a place to click, so you could read the flyer. Okay. But
this is another thing where I would offer my advice to these people organizing the demonstration to maybe be a little more tactful and tread lightly, because historically Melrose has been very good to the cabbies.
Well, Melrose has been taken over by the NCUA. Okay.
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 So what is that for me who don't know what is that?
The NCUA is the National Credit Union Association or something. It's the FDIC for credit unions. It's the government.
Okay.
They've been taken over by the government.
Oh.
Okay? Because of
By the state?
I believe it's the state. Okay? And the people that run Melrose or were running it or the I guess the owners, I don't know what you would call them. They're subject to the whatever rules and regulations the NCUA is imposing on them. Okay? They're there.
Right.
The NCUA is there to straighten out their books. Okay? When you have millions and millions of dollars of defaulted credit on your books, you have to figure out a way to get even, because this money is insured, okay?
Right.
And it belongs to the shareholders at Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I mean,
you know, when you borrow money from a credit union, whose money are you borrowing? Okay? You're borrowing money.
You're borrowing the other people's
money. You're borrowing other people's money. Okay? So
right.
they're doing what they think is necessary to get things back on, get Melrose back on its feet. Okay?
Right.
So look, the thing is this, if you're paying your medallion off, And regardless of what's going on in the market, if you're still able to work and pay your medallion off, in reality, your car hasn't really lost any of its value. Okay, your medallion hasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, you paid $1 million for your medallion and you're able to make your payments. You could argue that your medallion is still worth $1 million.
Well, this
Okay?
is what I'm saying, because now if you're I call it the brick and mortar cabbie. The cabbie who owns a medallion, owns a car, and he's driving a cab. He's not into this, like, he's running the cab. But just the guy who's physically sitting and driving a cab now, you got guys shaping up, waiting for cabs at the garage. So that tells me the drivers are making money. And me, I see a pronounced difference from this horror story where it was 2 years ago into what it is now. Because basically, we have X amount of cabs for X amount of drivers. So we have, it's not a complete disaster. And I'll tell you something, Abe, part of the French, it was starting to piss me off, where everybody kept saying how horrible it is and horrible, 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 because that also reflects into the press gets that, and they say the business is horrible because the cabbies say it's horrible. Well, I mean, there's a time and place to say that it's bad and time and place to say that it's good. Right now, the business is getting better. The medallion is inching back up. And what we have to do is we have to get people to start lending money again. We have to find some sources. Maybe the city can guarantee the loans or be an underwriter for the loans, since it was their stupidity that got us into this mess in the first place, which you have said previously.
Well, like I
I
said,
mean, that the city should be responsible.
well, I have read that there is some that there is money being lent. I don't recall where it's being lent, who's doing the lending. Okay, but if you go through
Right.
all these thousands of news articles that I post every week, okay, you'll find it somewhere. Group asks NCUA to stop bullying medallion owners. This was just the other day. It was a few days ago that I saw this article. Okay, I should have
Right.
highlighted it for the show, but I didn't. Okay, I'm as bad as you, Mike. I don't do my homework. Okay.
I don't do homework.
Oh, here's an article. Listen, taxi medallion. This was on the 16th. Taxi medallion sales rev up as investors kick tires. I think this is the article. This is in Cranes. Okay, let me bring it up. All right.
Right.
Give it a second. Okay. If you want to read it yourself, it's listed under May 16th. Okay, that I posted it, and this is where it says talking about the fleet owner. He just paid 1.32 million for two taxi medallions, and is planning to buy 11 more for $660,000 a piece to add to his 108 vehicle fleet. Okay, and that's that. And somewhere in here, I think it says talks about places that are lending. It says there is no sign of bottom being reached. This is, I think, Murstein talking. No, it said transportation consultant Bruce Schaller. Okay, I'm just skimming through this article. Okay. Okay. Read the articles. Read the articles on NYC Taxi News. Don't let me read them for you. Okay. You know, I do this
Right.
every day. It's a tedious job in the morning. I go through 100 or more news headlines, okay, and try to pick out the ones that mean something, okay, because most of them
Right.
are BS, if you know what that means, okay. And
Yes.
then there are a lot of articles that are really good articles. I love Cranes. Cranes really prints good articles. Cranes New York Business, okay. And this article says taxi medallion sales rev up as investors kick tires. Okay, and if you go to NYC Taxi News, go to the media page, it's listed under the May 16th articles. Okay,
Well,
and
the other
yeah.
thing, it was a good thing in Bloomberg, and Bloomberg.com is like, pardon the French, like a no bullshit site. So apparently, the Bloomberg people are starting to wonder what all this BS is with Uber, and they're starting to dig a little. Before, they were taking everything Uber said as gospel. Now they're starting to ask the right questions, and they're starting to sift through the nonsense, and they're getting to the bone marrow, and they don't see a lot. So they're starting to ask a lot of questions, and that in fact is helping the yellow cab, because we've always been straight for the most part. We've been very straight with our finances, and I think they're seeing that. They say, okay, well, this medallion price is going down, but also it's very clear to see what's going to make this medallion price go up. That's what the beauty of the yellow cab is.
I agree with you. You know, as much as I love Bloomberg himself, you know, I'm highly in love with him. Not all right. His newspaper, you know, his news, internet news thing or wherever he publishes, they do tell the truth. Okay, and looking at this Crane's article, right? I did find a paragraph, and I'm going to read it. At the same time, private equity firms are kicking the tires on the taxi industry in hopes of picking up distressed assets for rock-bottom prices. Blackstone,
there you go.
Blackstone, Fortress, and Monarch Alternative Capital are among the players that insiders say have been talking to fleet owners, consultants, and other experts for advice on when to buy. Okay? So, look. You know, when money is looking for medallions, medallions are worth money.
Right.
Okay? What part of that do people not understand? All right?
Well, that's another reason. Yeah. That's another reason for me to check out the Melrose thing. If I'm around tomorrow, hopefully they won't. You know, you got to watch it with my advice to demonstrators is, you might have a couple of nut jobs in the mix with every demonstration.
Yeah,
by experience.
I know.
Make sure you get quality people in there saying the right things,
well,
as opposed to people doing stupid stuff.
Demonstrate in a gentleman-like way, gentlewoman-like
right.
way. Okay, you know, be a mensch, as they say. All right,
be a good
guy, okay? And one more paragraph here. It says, we have been approached by at least six who want to work with us to buy medallions and medallion loans from banks, said Andrew Murstein, president of Medallion Financial, a publicly traded lender whose share price suffered in the age of Uber, okay? And boy, did it suffer, okay? And it's been going up lately, okay? But I wouldn't recommend you buy any stock, because the stock market is bizarrely insane, okay? But this is good news. You know, money is after the medallions. People with money want to buy medallions, you know, because they know that the prices are low now, and they don't buy it thinking it's going to go lower. They buy it thinking it's going to go higher, and it will go higher because it's worth more. It's being sold at prices that are under its real value, okay? What's his name? Warren Buffett said, Warren Buffett is one of the richest men in the world. He made billions and billions of dollars buying stocks, and he said, you want to make money buying stocks? Look for undervalued stock. And that's what the medallion is right now, okay?
That's what you think.
Oh, I'm positive. Yeah. I'm positive. I'm not buying any more medallions, okay? But the medallion that I have, okay, is, you know, and I still own, you know, I'm not giving it away.
Right.
Okay?
That's what people want you to do, but you're not going to do it.
Right. Well, no, yeah, I know. There's somebody, one of our listeners, okay? I'll say his name, Mohammed, because there's a zillion Mohammeds out there. But he knows who he is, and I spoke to him yesterday, and he's trying to sell his medallion for $300,000, and I told him he was nuts. Okay?
I think he'd be losing a lot of money if he did that, to tell you the truth.
Yes, he would. Okay? I told him, keep
working. Because I had a broker. Yeah. I had a broker the other day call me last week. This is true. He said he had a great deal for me. I'd have to put X amount of dollars down. And he could let me have it for $400,000. So apparently there's some difference there.
Well, there's all kinds of prices being floated, okay? Because nobody knows what it's really worth. But it's worth a lot more than they're selling for, and that's for sure. Okay? I told Muhammad, I said, Muhammad, keep working. Just keep working. You're making money every day. Don't worry about the price of the medallion. It will eventually take care of itself.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the last thing I want to touch on, like for next week's show, is right now there's nobody running against de Blasio for re-election. In fact, we have a lot of cowards politically in the city, and I'm shocked that there's zero people really seriously getting traction to run against de Blasio. Either I haven't heard of them, I haven't seen any publicity from them, and there's very little noise being made as far as who's running against de Blasio. So now we are facing the dread fear of de Blasio being reelected, and we might have to find a way to break bread with this guy, whether we like it or not. I'm just curious, at what point do we make a call on this?
Mike, I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out. Okay. We're kind of like overtime here. Okay. Let's
chop it up. Take a listen and chop it up. You know what to
there's
do.
Nothing to chop. But I like everything we said today. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, then don't chop.
All right.
Leave it non-chopped.
Yeah. You know, I like the discussion we had about insurance. Okay. And, maybe somebody out there will listen to us. Probably not, but, you know.
Right.
What can I say?
Okay.
All right. Visit our...
Well, you never know. We're doing our part.
Visit our advertisers on page one. Okay. Yep. Tony uh-huh. Tax time is over. Okay. But he'll keep you in the know all year long. Okay. And who else we got there? Let me take a look at this. I'm all over the place today with this website.
Let me do it. You sound like you're snow blind.
I'm snow blind.
You want me to do it from the top?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, batting leadoff, we got your buddy Tony Tax. You need help with your taxes? Tony Tax is the way to go. And what is it? Was it Taxi CPA on the right?
Yeah.
Taxi CPA, okay.
Taxi
now, next
CPA.
One. Okay, yes. Now, taxi drivers, drive yellow. Experienced FHV drivers are welcome home. Get your yellow license for free. No tests, no fees. That's Taxi Drive Yellow. That's from our good friends at the MTBOT.
Right.
And then underneath that, we have Drive a Cab at Checker, where yours truly works. Thank you very much. Checker Cab is now located in 11-05 38th Avenue in Long Island City, New York. 718-361-6300. That's 718-361-6300. Make it happen. Buy your next shift at Checker Cab. Then we have WB Taxi right up the road. If you can shop now. You got two guys on the web here. WB Taxi is located at 35-11 43rd Avenue in Long Island City as well. Their number is 718-729-7777. They're the ones with the blue bumper ticker. And then you go out to Brooklyn, God's country. You got King Brokerage Taxi Medallion Leasing at 6814 Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn. Be your own boss. King Brokerage Taxi, and their phone number is 718-833-8110. They're all on the front page of our website. And then we're going to even start something. I know, much to your chagrin, we're going to start those little boxes on page two. And what happened? We got a couple of ads I don't see here that we're going to call them and get them next week. And you have this Amazon 50 new brands from Amazon Dash, whatever that means. You got two
it
mean, of them
well, it means go to Amazon and buy something, and NYC Taxi News will get a couple of pennies to help it along. Okay, and if you need a GPS, that's on the front page also. Okay.
Right, and because and I've read all these people who are on the front page of the taxi website. So, like I said, if the doctor says you need more exercise, then just click on the front page versus listening to the show on this page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But anyway, so I guess I'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll all see you next week. And thanks for listening to the Mike and Abe Show. And that's about it. Bye, Mike.
Okay, goodbye, world. Goodbye, New York. And I guess I will see you next week. And you got the Taxi Dave Show is also on tonight. So as a shout out to the guy with the newspaper. On the
yeah,
page.
And you don't have to worry too much this year about the Mets being in the playoffs.
Yeah, just the traffic of the people who still go to their games.
Yeah, and it's Citi Field, not Shea Stadium. Shea Stadium is history.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's right. Sadly, it's history.
Okay, bye everyone.
I'll see you later. Take care. Bye.